Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Power Talk room this morning. And I'm praying that we have a great time together about our study of the scriptures today. You know, in Ephesians, what an incredible epistle, full of glorious doctrine. The great opening, I believe, of the dispensation of the grace of God, a doorway to the present truth, a revelation to Paul, given to us through the record of the word. But in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, having unfolded the great doctrines of this present calling, this present time, this present dispensation, beseeches his readers to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. This is the practical part of the epistle, and of course there's lowliness and meekness and long-suffering all associated with this walk and forbearing one another in love. In chapter 5 of this epistle, Paul in verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. In verse 15, we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. To walk circumspectly, carefully. Wisdom is required in a worthy walk of the present dispensation. And in Colossians chapter 1, another appeal by the apostle in verse 10, his prayer culminates in this wonderful objective, that we might all, you see, walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. A worthy walk, my friends, will bring about an increase in the knowledge of God. When we can't put into practice the things that God has revealed to us, when we don't apply them in our life, when we don't acknowledge truth, oh, it's one thing to know it. Ah, yes, a lot of Christians out there might know the truth. But to acknowledge it and walk according to it takes not only discipline, but it takes an inner strength, doesn't it? For just as Israel were led away from the comforts of the leeks and the cucumbers and the garlics of Egypt, they were led into the wilderness. And in my experience, I have found that a walk with the Lord will follow, in spiritual terms, a similar experience. That there might be in this call to walk worthy of this calling a leaving of comfort zones. And I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning that if there is some discomfort in acknowledging the great truth of the mystery, then let me assure you, just as Israel had the great pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, so too we, through the word, have his presence and his guidance. And we are to go forward, not casting our eyes over our shoulder and looking back. Now, you might remember some of our lessons during these last days. We've been considering the Passover, haven't we, in Exodus chapter 12. And they were to eat that meal with their staves in their hands, their sandals on their feet. They were to eat it ready to what? To walk. Yes, indeed. Unleavened bread means separation. And of course, we could dwell upon the fact that the separation would mean separation from the world and separation from all that the world and the flesh and the devil provides. But we might find also that as we progress in truth, we, as Paul spoke to Timothy, might have to separate from some who are walking according to their belly, who are perhaps not walking worthy of the calling wherewith they are called. So there are separations from the world, and I believe all of us have done that. But there may also be separations from those who are or were close to us. So Exodus, walk ready. Now the children of Israel in chapter 13 didn't take long for them to get out of the promised land, but they were guided by these two pillars, and I want to just put them in here. Exodus 13, the Lord went before them. The Lord went before them. You know, sometimes in our walk, we're afraid of the future. But let me assure you that as we remember God's presence in the past, and as we joy in God's presence in the present, that He is before us, since He knows the end from the beginning, we are to be encouraged by the fact that He also is before us. And in verse 22, He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day. He did not take away the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Remember, friends, no matter what our circumstances or how we are emotionally or socially, that God never removes Himself from our, by the Holy Spirit. His presence is always with us as well. And it's faith that embraces this and accepts it as truth. Isn't this true? Have we been told from the beginning, as babes in Christ when we first began, that faith and feeling are not to be confused? Faith has nothing to do with emotions and feelings. These can be governed by whether we had a good 8 hours sleep, or whether we've eaten something that perhaps doesn't agree with us. The faith that we enjoy is from a food that always agrees with us, the food of the Word. So the Lord was before them. And in Exodus 14, verse 10, there's going to be, just as there was in Israel's experience, there'll be a problem or two along the way. Just as Pharaoh and his armies approached at the rear, the sons of Israel cried out to Jehovah. Exodus 14, verse 10. Well, it's a good place to call, isn't it, when problems arise. However, the attitude is important. Exodus 14, verse 11. And they said to Moses, "Have you taken us, do you see, away to die in the wilderness because there were no graves in Egypt?" Sarcasm, discontent. These are not the qualities of Christians who are walking worthily. Never let it be said, friends, that when a problem arises, you blame God for it. We as people, of course, never want to blame ourselves for anything, do we? It's always somebody else's fault. Oh, I'm guilty. Like I say so many times, I just wish I was perfect. I get close every now and then. Let's not blame anybody, friends. Come on. Is God leading us? Well, yes, He is. Then whatever the circumstances, let us rejoice in them. Let us give Him thanks, no matter what our feelings, no matter what, friends, the circumstances look like. So, the children of Israel, once more, are looking back. But God's in front, remember. And look at Exodus 14, verse 15. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Speak to the sons of Israel." What have they got to do, everybody? What do they have to do? Go forward. Friends, do not have any fear of the future. Please. God has brought us thus far today. What a joy it is to know that He's been with us every step of the way. What's He going to desert us tomorrow? If friends leave us, if family reject us, if the entire Christian community doesn't like us crazy dispensationalists, what are we going to do? Stand and wail? Look backwards? Of course not. We're going to take a lesson from the words of the Lord here this morning, aren't we? speak to the sons of Israel that they go forward. What a joy is there today in his service. Who will the Lord bring to you on this day, wherever you're located? Who can you encourage? What word can you share with somebody today? Come on, let's look forward. That's the word, that's the walk, isn't it? Soon as I look over my back and turn backwards, I'm marking time. I've got sidetracked, haven't I? I'm in a parking zone. And the Lord's sign for you and me is no parking. No parking. Now back to my really favourite chapter in Numbers 11. And we have, of course, this verse 5. We remember. Now, it's good to remember the good things, but it's not good to remember partial things. You know, we are those who like to be comfortable, correct? Now, here's a nation of Israel that were brought by God out of comfort zones into the wilderness. What's he doing with you this morning? Okay? Are you in a comfort zone? We all like to be comfortable. But you know, truth, when we stand for it, might make others uncomfortable. Now, we are not to discard truth because it might make somebody else uncomfortable. Oh, let me tell you, I could testify to this one, friends, and so can you. If we wanted to make people comfortable, if we wanted to make Christians comfortable, we would stay where they are, wouldn't we? God didn't leave Israel in Egypt, now did he? And when God brings you forward and takes you and calls you to walk, and he walks with you, there'll be some that you're going to need to leave behind. And that's not going to be comfortable. In fact, quite the opposite. You've heard me testify when I left the dear old Salvation Army, they had prayer meetings for me. Well, I just want to report this morning that their prayers were answered. And God has been with me every step of the way outside the Salvation Army. You see, to them, they thought, well, there was no hope for me, really. But I remember and love that story in John, don't you? About the blind man. I think it's John 9. The blind man. And Christ met him with his eyes open. Outside the synagogue. See, the synagogue had formalism. The synagogue had this unwritten, unspoken law which said, you will be like me. But you see, friends, my walk in the Lord won't be exactly the same as your walk. You and I will pass through stages of understanding. You're not to compare yourself with me, and I'm not going to compare myself with you. Where the Lord has me at the moment might not be where he has you, but you're to walk and I'm to walk. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 4, love, forbearing each other in love. Humility of mind, meekness, which isn't weakness, it's strength, faith and calmness, isn't it? Oh, the poor old Israelis, look at them. We remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. I love them too, let me tell you. But our God cannot be our belly. We cannot covet the comfort. It's the food of the word that we are to yearn for and hunger. Now, you know full well, don't you, that I can be selective, have selective memory. Here's these Israelis remembering the food. What about the servitude? What about the struggle? What about the restrictiveness of their environment? What about the lack of liberty? What about their taskmasters? What? Does a garlic take all that away? I know it can heal us of a few diseases, friend, but not going to stop the whip, is it? And I have to say this. that there may be a time, friends, when God calls you out from among fellowship to go forward in his word. But he'll never leave you alone, because he's with you, and you'll always find one or two genuine friends. Mightn't be quite as many. But remember, faithfulness is not applauded or commended by the volume of those who walk with us. Even in the Gospels, didn't the Lord say, broad is the way, narrow is the way? I think the Bible is full of examples of a walk that is worthy being accompanied by a few. I mean, even in Numbers, don't we have Joshua and Caleb, the two of the spies that said, God will take us into the land? How many do you want, friends? And the entire nation was ready to stone them to death. You stand for right division, friends, and open your mouth about it, and I'm telling you right now, there'll be a few who want to stone you too. Or, in my case, have prayer meetings, because that's the best thing for Christians to do. And come up and call you aside and said, we've been praying for you, and we're very, very concerned. One of the friends who's normally with us will tell you that when she started coming into this particular room, there were plenty of friends that started praying for her and telling her you'd better stay out of there. And she's never looked back. Now then, time can weaken things, can't it? The Israelis, they'd been brought out from Egypt into the wilderness, and guess what? They'd forgotten the servitude. They were sick and tired of the food that God was giving them. But it was beneficial, wasn't it? Oh, very beneficial. Speaking of food, and you know there's a parallel, don't you? Oh yes, a lot of this is familiar. But in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, the Lord calls upon them to remember, not the leeks and the garlics back in Egypt. He says, remember all the way which Jehovah your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether he should keep his commandments or not. And what, that mightn't happen to us either? It's true, friends. Come on, there may be difficult times. The rejection of family and friends. Are you going to stand on his word or not? Who gave it to you, friends? I can tell you, I know who gave me the word. And I will stand on it. I will stand on it. Because you see, we might be allowed to go hungry. And then he fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know it, so that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of Jehovah, man shall live. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. Isn't that an amazing passage? Oh, and look at Israel in verse 4. While they had the food that perhaps wasn't the most digestive and the most delicate to the taste, they were provided for. Their clothing did not wear out. Their foot didn't swell. Yes, friends, when we go forward, we might lose some comforts. We might lose some companions. But I tell you what, the food that we want is that food of the Word, and I want you to hunger for it today. Yes, our website's up there, www.BibleUnderstanding.com, and there are many other good, rightly dividing websites out there. There are plenty of studies. Take time today to put aside 30 minutes. Sit down with your Bible and have yourself a feast. Open the book, friends. If your faith is failing, then get the book out. Have some prayer. And say, Lord, feed me today. I need some energy. And a cucumber won't give you the spiritual energy you need, friends. Only the word of truth. Yes, you and I, on the walk, we start to be weaned from the milk, correct? And we start to eat a stronger diet. We start to get to the meat of the word. Milk and meat, childhood and adulthood. Comfort to the wilderness. I'm going to go from these verses now to a man who certainly a writer of the New Testament, and one that he's put forward as our pattern, who certainly knows about these things. And he had a wilderness experience too. Now, I could talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was led for 40 years and was an hungered, was he not? Ah, yes. He identified with that nation of Israel, didn't he? And he was tried in the wilderness, wasn't he? But here's another one who had a bit of a wilderness experience. And I want to encourage you today, truly, truly encourage you, that if things are not going well, I'd be rejoicing myself. If you're losing a few friends, you're being prayed for and being warned about, and you're studying right division and growing in your understanding of the things that differ in the New Testament, then I'd be giving thanks, because you might be starting to take the meat of the word. In Philippians chapter 3, which is a great chapter, Paul said, look, I have confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:4. If any other thinks that he has reason to trust in the flesh, I more. Look at the things. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Look at it. Paul could boast, if he wanted to, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As regards the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. No half measures with this man. No half measures at all. Regarding the righteousness in the law, blameless. Oh, he was well accepted, was he not? Right up there. In fact, I'm going back to Galatians because I just remember a verse there this morning. He progressed in Judaism beyond many contemporaries in his race. Look at this. Being much more a zealot of the traditions of my fathers. Come on, friends, if you want company, if you want comfort, if you want a crowd of commenders, devotees, oh, the Apostle Paul had them, didn't he? He had everything that Judaism could offer. But you see, friends, formal religion may not necessarily be the right environment in which a worthy walk can take place. It's up to you to decide. No, it's not me. But as you progress, it's up to me to warn you that these things may happen. So there's the Apostle Paul. Look at him. Oh, yes indeed. Right up there. But what did he say in Philippians? He cast them all aside, you see. Whatever things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Things will be lost in the worthy walk. Are you ready this morning to lose a few things for Christ? Tough call, isn't it? What about family? I tell you what, touch the blood, friends. Blood is thicker than water, so they say. And I think that's a universal statement. But when family put you aside, that's a toughie, isn't it? And Christ's own family didn't have faith in him initially, remember? And what about Paul's family? Not too many of them hanging around, were there? At the end of his life, only Luke is with me. I don't think he was part of Paul's family. No, there'll be things that have to be counted lost, friends. That's it. Things that have to be counted as loss. Now then, in Philippians chapter 3, you see, Paul goes on to say in verse 8, but no, rather, I count all things as loss, you see, for the excellency of the knowledge. This is just not ordinary knowledge, is it? The excellency of it. There's something, you know, God will, I can promise you this from my experience. You count things for loss for Christ and go forward in the study of the word, and there's an excellency of knowledge. The milk becomes distasteful. to an extent. Not that we should reject milk. It's good for some Christians. But boy, don't we enjoy the feast of the word. And this is the walk, you see. And this is what the wilderness was all about for Israel. It's about to know something. Oh, I have to go back to Galatians because I forgot something. See, remember? Remember the good things and forget the bad, but I forgot a good thing. Verse 17. When it was time, says the Apostle Paul, for God to reveal his Son in him, immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. Ah, yes, the Apostle Paul went into the wilderness as well. So when we start our walk, friends, do you know what? There's a good chance that things will be a bit barren. Don't distress about that. Don't look back. But don't yearn for the comforts of perhaps formal religion. Yearn for the word and the meat of it. Now, we might get a bit of indigestion along the way. We might embrace things that perhaps are not quite right. I had some funny ideas as I went forward in right division. But I can tell you this, the Lord is with us every step of the way. And that word ultimately will bring understanding to you as it brought to me. Don't be nervous. Don't be apprehensive. Walk. Consume the meat of the word. Back to Philippians 3. Yes, the Apostle Paul, he counted all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. For whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things. Whatever the all things were, friends, you'll find out in the day of glory. And if Christ lost family and friends and the rejection of an entire religious nation, what might you lose in your walk? But let's not look back over the shoulder and remember the cucumbers and the leeks and the garlic. Now, will we? Because we look forward, don't we? We want to win Christ, don't we? Don't we want to be approved by him? Do you want to receive a well done, good and faithful servant? In that day, don't hold up, well, Lord, I was a faithful, and insert whatever denomination you want to put in there. Because I tell you what, friends, when I get there on that judgment day, I'm not going to say I was a faithful member of the Salvation Army. Because I'm not. I left it. I had to leave. There are things we have to leave. Israel could not go back to Egypt, and that goes way beyond just the redemptive fundamentals. If God's revealing right division to you, friends, well, you hang on to it and praise God for it and go forward. No looking over the shoulder. Any suffering that comes along the way, rejoice in it. For God is with you and taking you forward. There's a promised land. And it's promised land, and I'm going to spiritualize it today. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and winning him. That's what the walk's all about. In verse 12, I know I'm picking and choosing a few verses out of this great passage here. Look, not although I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I'm pressing on, if I may lay hold of that for which also I also was taken hold of by Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, my brothers, says the Apostle Paul, I do not count myself to have taken possession. Oh, no! But one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before. Are you reaching forward today? Or are you marking time and looking back, smelling the past, remembering the comfort? The worthy walk may not be a comfortable one. It could be a lonely one. No, dear, that would identify us with Christ and Paul, wouldn't it? But no, friends, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before. I press. I press, you see, toward the mark for the prize, winning Christ, looking forward to the prize, takes us way out of our comfort zone, friends. And remember, in Philippians 1, the Philippians were his longed for, his crown, his joy, right? And what was his prayer for them? That their love would abound yet more and more in full knowledge, that they may distinguish between things that differ. You see, the worthy walk has to follow Bible study principles, testing things that differ. And do you know in 2 Timothy, and that was a sneaky way to get a link in, wasn't it? 2 Timothy 2:15, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. I don't care, friends, whether the majority of Christians apply these principles or not. You see, we don't get a confirmation from the majority. When was the majority? Well, I pass on that comment. We're not to seek approval by the majority. What does this word tell us? We must distinguish between things that differ in the Word of God. We must rightly divide it. We do not want to be insincere and offensive. We want to be approved. We want to be unashamed, don't we? Now, the walk means, therefore, that we have to count things as loss. And in this chapter, we have to endure hardness like a soldier. We can't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Things are going to be left behind. We're like an athlete in verse 5 of 2 Timothy. We have to compete lawfully. Now, there are other Christians who may not be competing lawfully. See, these analogies aren't comparing a Christian with an unregenerate, an unbeliever. These analogies, friends, are Christian and Christian. Others may not be competing lawfully. And of course we're to love them. But we are not to walk according to their standards, do you see? If we know what right division is, we walk according to that standard, the standard of the Word. And if I'm the only one walking in my area, then I'm the only one walking. And I don't discard right division. I don't discard testing things that differ because no one else puts it into practice. That's not the criteria, is it? I want to count things but loss and I want to win Christ, and you do too. Because the labouring farmer in 2 Timothy 2:6 will be, as God has said, will be the first to partake of the fruits. Well, I hope you consider these things this morning. I hope they've been an encouragement to you, whatever your circumstance, whatever your lot at the moment. Remember this. Don't look back to the past, friends. Don't look back with a selective memory. There'll be things that you need to leave, but we are going to count things for loss. And that could be family. That could be Christian friends. That could be a whole mass of things that were once important. But now, with God guiding through the Spirit and the Word rightly divided, He's taking us forward. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk because I want to win. And I believe that you have that same Spirit too. And may God encourage and bless you in your walk today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your comfort and encouraging our word, Father. We bless and praise you for it. We thank you, Father, for the truth that you are with us every step of the way. We're never alone, no matter how we feel. And we bless and praise you for these wonderful and glorious truths. This is, Father, a pilgrimage, and we look forward to that great and glorious appearing when The fact that we've been raised and seated in the heavenly places will become a glorious and new reality for us. And we thank you for it. Now help us today to encourage each other, and help us today to encourage the ones that you bring into our sphere of influence, to the praise and glory of your grace, and to the honour of your word and your Son, we pray. Amen.